and White House is.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great, Vito. It's great to be here as always. I am right where I am supposed to be.
Yes, sir. As we both are, it is April 1st, 2024, April Fool's Day. You know, I didn't play any pranks today, but I will say this. The biggest April Fool's prank has been perpetrated upon the American people. It was placed upon the American people on January 20th, 2021, with the installation of Joe Biden as President of the United States. A career corrupt politician, dishonest to the core. It's one disaster after another. From the collapse of Afghanistan in August 20, 2021 to the collapsing of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland on March 26, Joe Biden is a lying and shuffling disaster. That is our April Fool. It's a nightmare, Al. It hasn't ended. The April Fool's joke was placed upon America on January 20th, 2021.
Well, he did wish everyone a happy Oyster Day, so a happy Oyster Day to you and yours.
It's just, it's
incredible. I kid you not. At the Easter on the White House lawn, he said, happy Oyster Day. Now, it was just a mistake, like potato, potato kind of thing, but it was embarrassing. It embarrassed me as an American.
You know, he's a chronic embarrassment, and he's a walking embarrassment. I apologize. He's a shuffling embarrassment is what he is. And, yeah, you know, you just can't help but talk about it, because the fundamental transformation of America is what the goal is by the Marxist. It's been the goal of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. And when you have the entire Biden regime made up of the Obama, we buy things are put in fast track, and you have someone who is basically mentally incapable of performing the job, and that is Joe Biden. And it's amazing how much of a sales job is being inflicted upon the American people by people who want us to believe that Joe Biden has the wherewithal to serve. He's got all this energy. Yeah, and he's just a...
Well, they're the Biden mafia family, and government is their business, and they sell access to whoever and whomever around the world, enemy or friend, it does not matter. The son does it. Joe Biden gets his 10% to the big guy. It has been documented over and over and over, even every hearing, but there's never criminal referrals are never written or executed upon to have these government mafia Biden family put on trial in front of a judge. They can't even get an impeachment. The Republicans can't, even when they have the smoking guns. They got a whole arsenal of smoking guns, and they don't do a damn thing because the Biden mafia has got the system rigged, and they make a mockery of all of us. And how one person, I don't think he's as bumbling of an idiot as people say. I think he has used that as bumbling forward and bumbling upward, because he realizes that whenever he gets in trouble, he goes into bumbling mode, and then the news cycle becomes shorter and shorter, and you count on the media not to excoriate him, skewer him, and put him on the roasting pit. They just let it go as, oh, there goes Joe again. Ha, 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 ha. And off he goes, and America gets ruined.
All by design.
Bigly. All by Marxist design. Welcome to the jungle.
Well, you know, every week we like to start off, and I know we get a little bit of sidetrack because it is April Fool's Day, but we do talk about the PGA. We start out, the PGA was in Texas for the Texas Children Houston Open, so that means they were in Houston, and they had a great field, including world number one player Scottie Scheffler, but it was another DP Tour graduate who walked away with the victory. Germany's Steven Jaeger outlasted Scottie Scheffler, Toasty, Dietrich Moore, and last year's winner Tony Finau all fell one stroke short of Steven Jaeger, who, you know, congratulations to Mr. Jaeger. He actually held on. I'm sure it was trying, knowing that Scottie Scheffler was right on your heels among, you know, four other players. But, you know, Jaeger, who got his first PGA Tour win with a 12 under par, 4 days scored. Jaeger now has punched his ticket to the Masters tournament in 2 weeks. He will be going to Augusta, not to mention he's now exempt on the PGA Tour for 2 years. So congratulations to Steven Jaeger. He beat a really good field, and, of course, he beat the world's number one, whose putter actually went, I think, just went cold. And it's too bad because he was doing pretty good there, and he just couldn't make the putts. He was overreading them, and but Jaeger just kind of held in there. He made some timely long putts, and it was fun to watch. Did you happen to watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of it. I didn't catch the whole thing, but for Steven Jaeger at 34 years old to finally get his PGA win after being a journeyman for so long. And it's good to see, and congratulations to him and his family, because that is quite an accomplishment. Even if all the big names weren't there, it's still quite the accomplishment. So congratulations. Anytime you can win any type of anything at that level is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he beat last year's
perfect golf.
He beat last year's winner Tony Finau, and Finau, you know, he just couldn't get anything going, but he was able to mount a round on Sunday, and then of course the hottest man on the planet right now, a player on the planet, is Scottie Scheffler for the men. And for the ladies, the hottest right now is Nelly Korda. Oh, the hottest player. She is. So last week, the last round of the LPGA Fir Hills Sayre Park Championship in California was dramatic, with Nelly Korda the world number one female golfer beating fellow American Ryan O'Toole on the first playoff hole, and that secured Nelly's second straight LPGA Tour victory. So she won 2 weeks in a row. She goes into the inaugural Ford Championship this weekend on fire. She's playing pretty well, and a couple of the ladies are dominating. And all of a sudden on Sunday, Nelly Korda just turns it on. This lady, I'll tell you, it is so fun to watch her, and I just absolutely love her swing. When she's on, and she was on yesterday, she shoots a 7-under par 65. She vaults up the leaderboard. She birdies the 18th hole, the par 5 18, to now stretch out her lead to 2 strokes, while the leaders now have about 4 holes remaining. So she's got to wait until the leaders get done. And in the end, Nelly Korda secured her 3rd win in a row, her 11th LPGA Tour victory overall, and she is the first lady since like the late 1970s or early 80s to win 3 LPGA events in a row, and she wins by 2 strokes, the inaugural Ford Championship. So congratulations to Nelly Korda. Wow, it was just, I watched that one too. It's like, holy cow, man, she was just, she was on fire, that lady. Woo.
She is a good golfer and good for the sport.
Yes, she is. And she's a biological woman, too, which is really the most impressive thing. The NCAA Men's Final Four is set. It is set. It is going to be conducted April 6th in Glendale, Arizona. The Final Four for the men's are Purdue versus number 11, NC State, and the number 1, UConn Huskies versus the Alabama Crimson Tide. So really, congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide. And also the dark horse in this whole thing is NC State. NC State absolutely shocking the field right now, to go from number 11 to going into the Final Four, and they've got some studs on there. And so, you know, UConn is led by 6'6 freshman Stephen Castle, and this young man can play some ball. That one should be a good one. And Purdue Boilermakers, they got like a 10-foot giant in the center. Actually, he's 7'4". The center is Zach Edey. This guy's a beast. And, you know, it's funny to watch some of these teams try to match up with him, and they put like a 6'6 or a 6'8 guy on him, and the guy looks like a midget. And Zach's got he's got a good touch. He can turn around and do a jumper. He can shoot free throws. So it's going to be a challenge for NC State, but, you know, NC State has a big dog in the middle as well, so he's not quite 7'4", but he's a big body, and that's something that they've not had, you know, a real big challenge on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those games. Next week, I believe it's April the 6th. It's actually Friday, right? April the 6th is the game with
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Okay, so it'll be both games.
UConn and Alabama, April 6th. Both.
Okay. So NC State beat Texas Tech. They beat Oakland, and in the last round, they beat the big Duke Blue Devils, and they won that game by 12 points. So they have a big challenge against UConn. UConn's tough. UConn absolutely has to be the most favored. You know, I always like taking Purdue, but you know, they are a bust generally in the NCAA finals. You know, in the 64, they fold. It's just unbelievable. But this year, I think with Edey in there, there's some chemistry with the rest of the players, and they are dominating, which is really cool to see. So,
yeah, but you're right about the Cinderella team being North Carolina State. For them to take out number 4 Duke and number 2 Marquette broke the brackets.
Yes,
brackets
they did.
All people played the brackets, and with Alabama, number 4 having big upsets all along the way, and they'll be taking on Clemson. Well, they took on Clemson, the two Cinderella teams, but they are the Cinderella team in NC State. Now, that would be a great national championship, NC State and Alabama.
Oh.
That would be exciting, but I think it's going to be UConn and Purdue, and it's going to be a great Final Four.
Yeah.
But the bookies are thrilled because, once again, that's the greatest thing about March Madness. Nobody in the history of March Madness has ever gotten a bracket from beginning to national championship. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes college ball exciting. My only negative is that it has become a – I don't know if, how closely you've been watching these games, but I've been watching a few, well, more than a few, but – to me, it seems like a three-point shot fest.
Yeah, you're right.
And rather than, I mean, Alabama is so quick on the floor. Watching when Alabama played when Alabama played North Carolina, their speed on the floor was just phenomenal. Fun to watch. It was great. And then when they were playing Clemson, it became a three-point fest. And it was exciting, yes, but not as exciting. It was just a little nuance that I picked up that gave me a little bit of pause. But I tell you, I like it much better than the NBA.
Oh, I do too. And you know, and it's something that it's funny you said that, you bring that up about the 3-point, because one of the games I was watching during March Madness, the coach had a mic in the air, and the coach said, "I don't want anybody taking 3-pointers. We're beating them at the boards. We're beating them. We take your shots, get inside, take your two, and let's go. Let's hold them." And, you know, it proved to be a winning strategy because they just kept making 2-pointers. They made routine baskets. And so he didn't want them to get greedy and start missing and then start pressing. So, and that's what's been happening with some of the teams. All of a sudden, look what happened with UConn went on a 30-0 run. I mean, that's unheard of, a 30-0 run. Mm-hmm. That should never, ever happen. But they start taking, you know, these 3-pointers and they're clanking them all over the place or just missing. You know, it's like, you know, Stephen, you know, the guy from Golden State, Stephen, I forgot his name, but, you know, that guy's got a sweet 3-point shot. You know, that's something that he practiced all the time. Well, son, you're not there yet. You're 20 years old. You're 18 years old. You know, start playing wisely. The ladies are on tonight. They had the Elite Eight. Number one Iowa takes on number three LSU in a matchup. Number one Iowa, of course, has Caitlin Clark, the leading Division I all-time scorer in college basketball history. She beat Pete Maravich's record a month ago. She is absolutely fantastic, but this is a grudge match. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Iowa-LSU game. LSU won the match last year in the finals. So let's see how if Iowa can steal this one to make it into the ladies' Final Four. USC versus UConn. That's going to be interesting because if UConn beats USC, University of Southern Cal, you'll have both the women's and the men's University of Connecticut basketball teams in the Final Four for basketball. So that's interesting.
What a program. You don't hear that very often.
Yeah. So
congratulations to UConn.
And, you know, something I tell you what, this is kind of weird in a sense, but the way my mind thinks. But, you know, yesterday they had the basketball games, and the men's NCAA. And, you know, I just – and a couple of things happened, and I'll tell you what one of them was. And it was when Dopey Joe Biden declared that March 31st is Transgender Day. And, It actually has to be said that the left wing in the United States, the Democrat Party, the Uniparty, but the left wing has done everything they can to demean and destroy organized religion, specifically Christianity in the United States. And, of course, now we know Judaism as well. That's been confirmed. You know, now with the issue that Israel is defending herself, the Democrat Party basically has walked and looked the other way. And you could sit there and say, oh, well, you know, there are Jewish congressmen that support Israel. Really? So why don't they come out and go outside the party line politics and start speaking out against their party abandoning the state of Israel? Okay. But back to Joe Biden and the Marxist regime that he represents. Because this is Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime. And this from the Gateway Pundit, they said it best. I did do that. Old Joe denies he declared Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, you know, he's the president of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. The White House declared on Good Friday, I call upon Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. Absolute horseshit for one. Part of this whole thing is they make the announcement on Good Friday. This is Christianity's holiest, one of Christianity's holiest days. Matter of fact, last week was Holy Week in Christianity. Holy Week for Catholicism, Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and yesterday, of course, was Easter Sunday. And the Obama alumni regime specifically chose to, one, make their announcement of Transgender Day of Visibility using Dopey Joe on Good Friday because of their attack on organized religion, specifically Christianity. And they chose March 31st, not by accident, mind you. They chose it purpose. They chose it as another way to attack Christianity, to attack organized religion. Because with Marxism, there is no religion. Their God is Mother Earth. Their God is themselves. They believe that they're bigger than all others. And what a slap in the face. And, you know, to proclaim that there's violence and discrimination based on gender identity is yet another fictitious accusation by a lying left wing in the United States. Now, Biden also banned any Christian-themed designs from being submitted to the White House Easter-themed art contest. Believe that? So the Democrat Party in 2016, during their convention, voted to take God out of its charter. And, you know, to the credit of those conservative Democrats who believe in God, were obviously insulted and were adamant about God remaining in the DNC charter. But the majority, and I will say the majority of the left wing, are anti-constitutionalists and anti-Americans. They are anti-religion. They are anti-Christian. Now, for Joe Biden, who proclaims to be a Catholic, and of course he's a smorgasbord Catholic, you just pick and choose whatever day and whatever, I don't know, theme that he believes to be the flavor of the day, whether it's vanilla ice cream or whatever it is. But Biden banned any Christian-themed designs from being submitted. Yet their religion of transgenderism is well accepted, as we've seen with Rachel Levine and as the previously employed Sam, whatever his name is, the groomer, in the Department of Energy. You know, this is Easter holiday. This is a Christian holiday. Rear Clear Politics' Philip Wegman said in an X post, "I didn't do that," Biden said when asked about proclaiming Easter Sunday trans day of visibility. Asked about Speaker Johnson's claim otherwise, the president replied, "He's thoroughly uninformed." So here you have Joe Biden will lie to your face. Now, whether it's because he's mentally incompetent, but here again, here's a situation where you have the left wing who supports Joe Biden, who absolutely lied to their face, lied to Rear Clear Politics. The proclamation states, therefore I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility. When Real Clear Politics, Phil Wegman, asked them, I didn't do that, Biden said when asked proclaiming Easter Sunday Trans Day of Visibility, Joe Biden said, I didn't do that. So here we have Joe Biden, a plagiarizer and a liar. So either Joe Biden is not writing these proclamations, Joe Biden is not writing these policies, and the Obama alumni regime, including Barack Hussein Sator Obama, are actually running the White House. And Joe's basically a figurehead. He's put out in front to be the distraction while the dismantling of our constitutional republic goes on behind the scenes by the Obama alumni regime. Speaker Mike Johnson sent out on Twitter, "The Biden White House betrayed the central tenet of Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, banning sacred truth and tradition, while at the same time proclaiming Easter Sunday as Transgender Day, is outrageous and abhorrent. The American people are taking note." Well, let's hope the American people are taking note, because the actions by Joe Biden the past 1,168 days are reprehensible. They are anti-American. They are anti-constitutional. He is not working for we the people. He's working for he, him, and the party. He's working for the Marxist globalist movement. He's working for the United Nations 2030 agenda. He's working for globalization of the United States as the World Economic Forum has set policy forth. He's working for the World Health Organization, an arm of the useless nations of the United Nations. This is what Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime are doing. They're working on behalf of globalism. Here's the quote, and it's not surprising then they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy toward people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations. You see, this is thanks, Holger. That is the mindset of the left wing as they continue to move forth with their radical anti-Christian, anti-American agenda. They are anti-constitutional. Oh, and here we have the White House Deputy Press Secretary. Obviously, the propaganda Princess Pierre was not available, but the White House Deputy Press Secretary down saying Biden's right, nothing in conflict with the tenets of Easter, which he celebrated yesterday. Even though the banned Christian team designs from the White House Easter art contest, but he did nothing wrong. So obviously Joe Biden is not running the White House. Obviously Joe Biden is not running policy and procedure. So what happens is that you have an enforcement behind Joe Biden, which would be the Obama alumni regime. They prance out their chimpanzee, Joe Biden, and they tell him exactly what they want him to, dementia-riddled individual, to say. And that's all Joe knows. But behind the scenes, they're doing other things. They're doing other things like declaring Transgender Day on Easter Sunday. You know, they could have made it April Fool's Day, because basically that's what they are. The left wing are fools. But they could have made it next Sunday. They could have made it next Friday. Could have announced today for next Sunday. Instead, they intentionally chose Good Friday as a means of slapping Christianity in America, because the idea is to dismantle the Christian belief for their radical Marxist agenda. It's an absolute joke, Al.
Well, big time, because the controversy itself centers around the exclusion of religious Easter egg designs from children of the National Guard participating in the celebrating National Guard family's art event, which you touched on. Now, the decision raised eyebrows, considering that the White House's recognition and celebration of Ramadan, a month without lunch, a Muslim holiday, Islamic holiday, the White House has a longstanding tradition of commemorating Easter. Now, where it is lack of diversity and exclusion, the flyer for the art contest emphasizes the theme of celebrating our military families and encouraging children from the National Guard families to submit artwork reflecting their own lives. Selected designs are to be painted on real eggs by talented artists and displayed at the White House during the Easter and Passover season. However, the White House and Biden guidelines stipulate that designs must not promote bigotry, racism, hatred, or harm against any group or individual, or discriminate based on various factors, including religion. The guidelines resulted in the exclusion of Christian representation, undermining the diversity of religious expression. That's the seriousness of this. It may seem like it's silly, but it's actually very serious, because they're excluding Christianity from everything under the guise of not wanting to injure anyone or harm against any group or individual. This is hardcore Marxism in action. And then it bleeds into the Transgender Day of Visibility, which is disgusting in and of itself.
Yeah, it really is. And even the Border Czar Kamala Harris refusal to mention Christians or Jesus Christ in her brief Happy Easter message, while having much longer messages in celebration of abortion and, you know, Regine's blasphemous Transgender Day of Visibility. So, you know, it's a conscious effort by the left wing to continue to slam organized religion, to slam Christianity. And it should be, you know, we should start speaking out, and we should start speaking out direct against this.
Yeah, and we should speak out on this Transgender Day of Visibility. Let's give it a little visibility, all right? The number of men who wear women's clothing or pretend to be women, lying to everybody, is very, very small, way under 1%, and the percentage of the population of women pretending to be men and dressing as men is equally as small. But you would think that 25% of the population cross-dresses and has that distinct sexual fetish, but that's not the case. So this Transgender Day of Visibility needs to be looked at, and looked at closely. The White House goes on to say that transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation, whether serving their communities or in the military, raising families, or running businesses. They help America thrive. Well, maybe they do. I'm sure there's some very good people that cross-dress. But with that abnormal antisocial behavior that is not in the norm of behavior for people, the majority, it is problematic, because this transgenderism has now gone into sports, and where the men dress as women are participating in women's sports and cheating and stealing to win trophies. They're hurting women, and they're hurting and destroying Title IX, which helps women athletes. There is no good that comes from this transgenderism. And, you know, I feel sorry for these people in the sense that if you're not sure or uncomfortable with how you were born, It has got to be a very, very difficult way to live, not a very happy life when you are unhappy with your gender, but be that as it may, don't make it political and don't shove it down my throat and don't expect or force or try to force the majority of the population to submit to your transgenderism and accept it at face value. And if you don't accept it, then you become a hater, a bigot, a transphobe, or whatever else you want to say. You attack and demonize the majority because they may not accept that you are a man who likes to lie and pretend that he's a woman. No. Let's look and shine some light on this transgender visibility and what I see under that light and with the scalding Klieg lights of the truth. I see a sad and disgusting Marxist tool to destroy the family and to destroy the unity of the American people and to destroy men and women, which is the building block for family, community, and country. And yes, and it is all related, and I'm not being overly bombastic. This is part of the Marxist playbook. And we're seeing it right here at the highest levels of the White House, and that is quite upsetting, quite challenging. If you love America and if you love our freedom, liberty, and our Constitution, very troubling. And people should be upset, and they should get mad. I think it's time for people to get mad.
And you know, what's interesting about this is the Transgender Day of Visibility, and my apologies if I gave the impression that it was created by the Biden and Obama alumni regime, and I should let me correct something here, because this has been the Transgender Day of Visibility was first established in 2009. And what I take exception to is that it's not been celebrated, so to speak, by the President of the United States until 2021. And in 2021, guess who was installed as President of the United States? And that's when the Marxists, that is when the Obama alumni machine went into action to further divide this country. Biden and Bortezar Harris have no problem with their celebration and expanding on celebration and declaring proclamations, when in fact they should have just let it go for 2024, because it was an absolute slam at Christianity, knowing that that Christians were all around the United States and around the world were celebrating Easter. They were celebrating Good Friday. It's not just a day off. It's not just a holiday. And again, with most companies, it's a holiday. Guess what? Banks were closed, so it's a federal holiday. And the Biden and Obama alumni regime specifically chose Good Friday to make their statement. And that's what's sad about this. And this is what has to be brought out, because these individuals that are in the executive branch of government, if they can slam conservatism, if they can slam Christianity at any avenue, in any way, shape, or form, they will do so. And it's just ironic that until Dopey Joe was installed on January 20th in 2021, this wasn't an issue. This wasn't a celebration. And Biden has brought this perversion to the forefront. And of course, he's done it in his own regime with Rachel Levine, the cross-dressing male who serves in his whatever the heck he serves in. And then he had Sam, whatever his name is, the puppy handler, the pup handler, as in the Department of Energy. And it's an absolute disgrace, is what it is. You wouldn't have anything in the Obama alumni regime. They are as I said, anti-American. They're anti-constitutional. They're anti-Christian. They're anti-Jew. They're anti-Israel. And they continue to prove their anti-Israeli stance on a daily basis. And let's start calling out this abuse by Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime. They despise organized religion. They despise Christianity. It's been one disaster after another. It is one disaster after another. And the fact that the President of the United States continues to get away with slamming Christianity, with slamming organized religion, and the fact that the Democrat Party wants to take God out of their party, take God out of society, is what's really troubling, because America was founded on a Judeo-Christian value system. They believe in God, and our founding fathers believed in God. And somehow we become the United States of the offended. And the Marxist movement is fixated on taking God out of society as they try to destroy the nuclear family. There is no visibility of Transgender Day, and it's a sad day in the United States of America history that the President of the United States decided to put more effort into celebrating this perversion for 0.5% of the population. And then he's not man enough to back up the fact that he signed that proclamation, which either says one of two things: that Joe Biden doesn't know what's going on, and he's given some talking points to remember because of his mental inability, or he's simply a flat-out liar that he is. We already know he's a plagiarizer. He proved that back in 1992. So it's just, it's. I'm sorry, 1988 for that presidential election where his party threw him out. And yet somehow in 2021, 2020, he's resurrected as being this international policy genius. And all we've seen is one disaster after another.
Right.
April Fools.
And who and the doctors who cash in by creating these long-term transgender patients out of otherwise healthy people while betraying their Hippocratic oath of do no harm. You've got political groups that create jobs, and they haul in big money to bring visibility, transgender visibility to the cause. And then we have president and politicians who want to be seen as hip and inclusive among potential young voters. Now, the Rainbow Mafia, that's the gay mafia, demands fealty and harshly punishes dissent. People struggling with their identity and struggling with theirs, and there's no more visible group on the planet, and the grooming and recruiting for that group is just plain evil, Vito, and people struggling with their identity are being lied to and mutilated in the name of compassion. It's the opposite of love to do this to people, especially those who are vulnerable. Those of us who know better, we ought to extend a message of real love and help. But that's hard to do when evil is being shoved down our throats, but that only makes it more important, because when you have authority figures telling these mixed-up high school kids, oh, yeah, be your natural self, that is, may not be your true gender when you are an adolescent and vulnerable or have other weak psychological issues, and to prey on that, it is evil, and it needs to stop. And this Transgender Day of Unity is a symptom of a much bigger and evil problem. And it will pass. People will wake up. It will pass as things do, because the truth always comes out at the end. It always does.
You know, I saw Bigfoot's in the house. I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. He's got a great blogspot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Also, we've got conservative national media. Robert's in the house. Thank you, Robert. Golf Dogs, HRV Radio. QM, I think that's Chief. QM's back in the house. Nice to see you, QM. I hope you're doing well. Snow James, Snowman James, James, Mama Mia, Alaska, Boyd. How you doing, Boyd? And Tim Tapp of the Tim Tapp Show on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, one and all. You know, I was reading a story at a Bigfoot's Place blogspot last week, and there was a story about the transgenderism and about the high suicide rates as a result of these of the transitioning surgeries not being what they was made they were made up to be. And I can't find the article, but I know I think it was. I'm not even gonna speculate which medium it was from, but I know it was from Bigfoot'sPlace.blogspot.com. I read it, and you know they talk about they want to talk about the violence of transgenderism, but the issue is the suicide rate, and the suicide rate is great, and sadly. The politics of identity politics has brought all this on. The Marxist movement, in order to denigrate society, to drive a wedge in society, and the fact that you've got a mission to take basically one half of 1% of the population and make it as a overwhelming majority is pretty sad. And sadly, you've got the Biden Obama alumni regime who have put a lot of effort into identity politics and to divide America. And what we're seeing today by this anti-American regime is just absolute insanity. And it's time to just push back on this. This is not normal, and it shouldn't be accepted as normal. And we have a decision on November 5th, 2024, and it's a clear decision. Do we continue down this path of global Marxism in order to dismantle our constitutional republic, a great scheme, a schematic for self-governance that worked for 240 years? Or do we go down the globalist road of utopia? Democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And speaking of dictatorships, the state of California, which is the catalyst for much of the perversion that goes on in the rest of the country at some point in time, beginning today, April Fool's Day, and this is no April Fool's joke, every fast food restaurant in California will have to pay their employees a minimum wage of $20 per hour. Now, the negative cost of the law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom last year has already added up. And guess what? Let's not talk about the fact that instead of trying to tackle the $222 billion state budget deficit, yes, the state of California has a budget deficit of $222 billion. And what they're concerned about is raising the minimum wage by 25% on small business. 25%. Now, to give you an idea, the state of Florida, which doesn't quite have the same amount, same population, but the state of Florida has no budget deficit. Okay. But the state of California has $222 billion in deficit, and they just raised the minimum wage to $20 an hour. So businesses are with 25% increase in labor costs. The radical left-wing led state is also finding a way to kill free enterprise, to kill capitalism. Two Pizza Hut franchise holding companies had already filed government notices to lay off all of their delivery drivers, which impacts more than 1,200 drivers. So those college kids, those high school kids that are delivering pizza for extra money, for tips, cash tips, many of them, okay, trying to basically be productive and work their hours so that they can accommodate maybe their school schedule, they don't have a job. Why? Because of the increased labor cost that has been dictated by the California state government. $20 an hour. Pizza Hut was my career for nearly a decade with little to no notice. It was taken away, says Michael Ojeda, Pizza Hut delivery driver, told the Wall Street Journal. Roundtable also eliminated dozens of delivery driver positions. A spokesperson for Roundtable's parent company, Fat Brands, said such drastic measures are necessary to ensure the overall financial health of the business. Now, remember, it was Pocahontas Warren who stated what? Who stated to business that you didn't build that, right? You didn't build that, which meant that government was the reason why you exist, you know? That is the mindset of the Marxist in Washington, D.C. That is the mindset of the Marxist in academia. You didn't build that. It's government who built that, and that's the reason why you exist, really. So let's see. So you have a city, a town, several towns in Massachusetts who were reliant upon woodworking, and let's say they were shoe manufacturers, and they employed over 1,000 people. Tom McCann, a famous name brand shoe manufacturer. And the costs in the state of Massachusetts were rising rapidly. And Tom McCann said, you know what? I can't afford to live by the onerous rules and regulations that have now been put down by government. Therefore, I'm going to move my manufacturing plant to a lower cost state or maybe to a lower cost country. So they closed their 1,000 employee factory, their manufacturing plant, and they moved to North Carolina with zero taxes, state income tax, and lower costs overall. Or they move their operation to China, of course, which doesn't have the labor cost and the labor oversight that you have in the United States. But be that as it may, 1,000 jobs lost. Now, that devastates cities and little townships. And little townships all of a sudden suddenly don't have the revenue being generated by the manufacturing plant to the tune of property taxes, sales taxes. You know, before the third shift starts, you have employees going to a local diner, which employs two waitresses, two cooks, two dishwashers, and let's say a couple of busboys. So they have 10 employees. Now, there are no jobs. The 1,000 employees are done. Suddenly, that diner is closed its doors, 10 employees gone. The pizza joint, which had 12 people working for him, now has four. And the impact to the infrastructure is suddenly taking a hit. The tax base in that state, in that city, in that township starts disappearing. Suddenly, that township can't afford garbage pickup. They can't afford fire. They can't afford police. And they're looking for ways to meld those services between not just one, maybe two, but three counties. So the impact as a result of these of this Marxist mentality, this anti-free enterprise, anti-capitalist, capitalistic mentality, is to destroy business. It destroys communities. Because some of those 1,000 people say, you know what, I need to follow the job. So then they move to North Carolina. They move to Tennessee. And they follow that manufacturing plant. They pick up roots from where they are in, let's say, the state of Massachusetts. And now you have townships that were once thriving, 10, 12, 14,000 people, now have 8,000 people. They've lost 50% of their population, not to mention their tax base. So they can either raise property taxes to continue to afford the services that were provided, or they start cutting the services. And that's what they do. They cut services. And so now you have, fast forward to 2024, the state of California decides that if you have less than 60 employees, you're now going to be, it's compulsory that you pay $20 an hour for minimum wage. Alexander Johnson, the owner of 10 Aunt Annie's and Cinnabon restaurants, told the Wall Street Journal that he had to reduce his workforce by 10 employees to cover the $470,000 annual cost of forced wage increase. You have a company with 10 locations having to cut out 10 jobs because their increased labor costs went up by almost $500,000. Folks, this isn't about corporate greed. You know, this is a simple equation. Income minus expenses equals a profit or a loss. And if you're running at a loss for too long, you can't afford to remain in business. You're going to tap into your savings, and when that savings is done, what do? You borrow money. But at what point does the borrowing stop? How much debt do you have to incur in order to satisfy the appetite of a Marxist state? Well, you have to pay a living wage. Well, what's a living wage? $5 an hour? $10 an hour? $20 an hour? What's a living wage? Why doesn't the market dictate that? So instead now, 10 employees have now been laid off from Aunt Annie's and Cinnabon restaurants. 1,200 pizza delivery drivers have been eliminated by Pizza Hut. And what was the other restaurant? It was Round Table Pizza. 1,200. I can't charge $20 for Happy Meal. I'm leaving no stones unturned, said Scott Roderick, the owner of 18 McDonald's restaurants, who told the Wall Street Journal. The second primary way that restaurant operators will offset the cost of government-forced payroll increases is by what? Raising menu prices. And now the working poor are impacted. You know, the left wing, the Democrat Party, loves to profess that they stand up for the little guy. Hey, we're for the little guy. We're not going to raise taxes for those who make one dime over $180,000. No, they've raised it by 25%. 25 cents is what they've done. So now you've got McDonald's, Chipotle, Jack in the Box have already committed raising their prices by 8 to 10% to offset the cost of the minimum wage going to $20 an hour. You know, this is mental retardation on the part of Marxists. Go ahead, Al.
Well, it's a complete lack of understanding of business. The average rule of thumb for a business owner is you must be able to produce 10 times whatever you pay an employee in order to break even with that employee in the course of a year. For example, $20 an hour at a fast food restaurant comes out to approximately $38,000. It does come out to $38,400 per year before taxes. Now, in order to be able to generate enough income to pay that $20 an hour, the general thumb is that a business needs to generate $380,000 worth of income, and a lot of these fast food restaurants do not make $400,000 per employee in gross revenue.
You're not kidding.
A business cannot survive if you can't make enough to pay your expenses, which are insurance, air conditioning, cost of goods sold, that's buying the whatever you're selling, and then you gotta process it and then sell it, and then you usually, if you're lucky, you can have an 8 to 10% profit margin. Now the profit margin is that key number because that determines what you need to make in order to survive or perish in the jungle of capitalism and business in general. In fact, it doesn't even matter what type of government, but that's what you need in order to survive. And if you can't survive, you can't run a business. So you tell me where a McDonald's can generate $400,000 per worker, and they can't.
They can't. They can't.
Well, unless you raise prices. And then when you raise prices, there's a threshold of pricing where if it's going to cost you $15 for a hamburger, and you want to take your wife and your two kids or three kids out to McDonald's, you're looking at a $125 bill to go to McDonald's, or maybe a $100 bill. Whereas McDonald's used to be the home of cheap eats. You grab the kids, you run to McDonald's, and you get them fed and fat and happy, and then you run home, and it doesn't break the bank, versus going to a restaurant or buying a couple of pizzas. But those in California, luckily, it's only in California that this madness is happening.
You know, I don't know, because I've got a niece from who's up north, and she went to McDonald's, or she took her daughter to McDonald's, and they got a Happy Meal and a shake, not a large shake, and it was $17. $17. And
holy,
you know,
mackerel.
Holy mackerel is right. I would have left it right on the counter there. But you know, this is what's killing individuals. It's killing the working poor. It's killing the working Americans. And you know, I have to say, I'm going to play this 50-second clip from FBI agent Dan Smoot. The left wing in America, the Uniparty in America, really and truly believes that they will turn America into a democracy. And they have this utopian mentality, but in the end, what the motive is to become dictators. And California basically is showing us exactly what a dictatorship is to look like. You have a $222 billion deficit. Now, instead of working and striving, and you have a beautiful state, striving to reduce that cost, okay, reduce that debt, okay, which impacts each and every citizen of California, you're passing more anti-business, anti-small business, anti-free enterprise actions. And what it's doing is it's also telling other businesses that when they're looking to enter the United States, when they're looking to relocate or locate a business, why would I bring that business to California? Now, the cost of doing business in California is tremendous. So why would I bring a business to California? Because what I'm looking for is, and you said it, Al, if I can't run an 8 to a 10% profit and I'm looking at a 4% margin, that's not going to keep me in business. So I'm not going to look to, I don't know, Seattle, Washington, because Seattle proper is a $20 per hour. I'm not going to look to the entire state of California. I'm going to look at Texas, Florida, Tennessee, North Carolina. Why would I want to go and cut my, you know, nose off to spite my face? But here is FBI agent Dan Smoot, 50 seconds, explaining the difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy, and how a democracy works in order to achieve serfdom and dependency. And it's exactly what our government is working for today. And of course, the wedge that's being driven into the fabric of society under the guise of identity politics is what we are also witnessing, especially, you know, with Dopey Joe, the one who was installed on January 20, 2021.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
They've obscured the real meaning of the principles of government. That's exactly what Biden and the Obama alumni regime are doing. They have obscured, and by the subversion of language, they have worked diligently to attack the very fabric of America. One, our religious values, the freedom of religion, right under the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the freedom of religion. And this regime, whether it's the Obama regime, Obama-Biden, whether it's the Clinton-Gore, or now with the Biden-Obama alumni regime, they are disrespecting the establishment of religion. And Dopey Joe sits there and professes that, I'm a Catholic, just like he took a train over the Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know, he took a train many times over that bridge. There's no rail on that bridge. So, you know, little facts like that, you know, you signed a proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility. No, I didn't. You're mistaken. Joe, you did, you know. So, you know, again, go ahead.
Well, they're doubling down on it, Vito, because next Thursday or this Thursday, yeah, Joe Biden is set to go visit the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, his choice is going to Brownsville, Texas for his visit, but it sparked criticism because he argued that the area had seen relatively low numbers of migrant illegal alien crossings compared to other areas. Well, in preparation for his visit, the Joe Biden White House has released a fact sheet highlighting their support for a bipartisan border bill, which you've heard so much about, which includes $1.4 billion for cities and states providing services to not illegal aliens, but for illegal aliens. What do you think the new word is for who they want to provide $1.4 billion of taxpayer dollars for?
Invaders? Invaders?
That would be the right answer, but they are calling illegal aliens the new term is to provide services to newcomers.
Oh!
The language used by the White House to refer to the illegal aliens as newcomers has drawn swift condemnation from the House Republicans. Finally, they got off their ass and said something. They argue that this term suggests equal status to legal immigrants who have entered the country legally, and it demonstrates the Biden administration's lack of seriousness in addressing the issue, which is a stupid thing for the Republicans to say, because what President Biden is doing, in my opinion, Vito, is he's getting ready to tee up a massive trying to legalize all of these illegal aliens so they can vote. He's going to go DACA 2.0, and all these illegal aliens are going to say, there's too many here, so we must bring them out of the darkness and into the light so they can work freely and pay taxes and help the country and help the United States of America.
All right,
so he's
Al.
Going to...
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your statement. I want to ask you a question.
No, that's it. He's gonna take all these illegal aliens, make them legal so they can vote in November. That's the bottom line.
Okay, and you're absolutely 100% correct. Now, I'm going to ask you all, and I'm going to ask you, Al, and I want everyone out there to think about this. You know, for 1,168 days, we have watched our borders, our U.S. borders, thanks to Joe Biden's edicts, thanks to the Obama alumni edicts, okay? They had Joe sign 95 executive orders rescinding President Trump's border security policies that were working and that were in place, okay? Now, prior to this election year, the 2024 election year, Joe Biden was AWOL from the border. One of the reasons why the U.S. DNC media press does not hold Joe Biden accountable for not addressing the press is that they are working hand in hand so Joe doesn't have to answer any questions. Either one, he's purposely being elusive, or two, he's unable to conduct any type of press interviews for a prolonged period of time. And I say prolonged because if you remember correctly, President Trump, I will never forget this, was walking one August in a full suit, was walking to Marine One from the White House on the lawn, and he stopped for 35 minutes answering each and every member of the press's question. Each and every member. Now, they didn't like his answers, certainly, but he stopped and he answered questions. That's, you know, for impromptu. No notes, no teleprompter, answered questions. Now, conversely, Joe Biden has failed to address the media for any prolonged period of time, and it's absolutely a planned strategy on the part of the Obama alumni regime. So for 2.5 years, and I'll say for 3 years, Joe Biden has avoided the U.S. border. He's avoided the issue of border invasion. As a matter of fact, he had his pimp for the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, lie under oath to a U.S. House committee and a Senate committee stating that the border is secure. The U.S. media, which is owned and paid for by the Democrat National Committee, basically went deaf, dumb, and silent concerning the border, and there were a few outlying news agencies like a Newsmax and One America, and even the one from the UK in Australia, Sky News, that Sue sends me a lot, and you watch them, but they have been talking about the border. Now, it's interesting that while Joe has been avoiding the border issue and illegal aliens have been pouring through our borders by the millions, okay, and we've seen as early as 2021, there were thousands at the border waiting for Joe Biden to be installed because they knew they had a free access into the United States without any consequences, and it occurred. So millions of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens have poured through our borders, and Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime said nothing. They lied about it as well. They lied under oath to the U.S. House subcommittees, the U.S. Senate select committees. They lied under oath. Alejandro Mayorkas lied. And by virtue of them not addressing the border invasion and not upholding their constitutional authority under Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion, which the Biden, Harris, and Obama alumni regime intentionally violated. They can now look and address the issue during an election year to pretend that they care, to pretend that they are doing all they can now in 2024, 1,168 days too late, and we've had millions of unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens pour through our borders, including this regime, the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime, transporting illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to cities, states, and towns all across America in the dead of night, using charter flights, which we know nothing about covertly, also using the U.S. agency USAID, USAID, that's run by the Marxist Samantha Power of the Obama alumni regime, who has a $50 billion budget. And USAID supports UNRWA. They support the Red Cross. They support the Norwegian Refugee Council. Guess what? The Red Cross and Norwegian Refugee Council have set up camp in Darien Gap, Panama, and northern Colombia, where the illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens use it as a checkpoint, as a stopping point on their way to invade the United States of America through the Mexico-U.S. border. So, excuse me. The actions were intentional by the Biden, Borders R. Harris, and the Obama alumni regime for America's borders to be breached. It was intentional that Joe Biden went deaf, dumb, and silent for 1,100 days. And now that we're in election year, he pretends he cares. And that's the message, of course, that his handlers want to give Joe, because Joe has no idea what's been going on. He won't even address the fact that 15, perhaps even 20 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens have poured through our southern and northern borders. He will not even acknowledge the fact that under the tri-border region, the tri-border region is a region in South America. There are three countries. There are Brazil and Paraguay. There's a region by those three countries at their adjoining country boundaries that the theocratic state, terrorist state of Iran funds Islamic terror training camps. And it's occupied and attended by members of Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and Hamas. Hezbollah and Hamas, we know, are funded by Iran. And thanks to Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime, they've once again empowered Iran and funding Iran, allowing them to sell their oil and not holding any types of embargoes in place that have been in place and were enforced by even President Trump. As a result of that, Iran has emboldened once again and has also gotten into bed with Communist China, who's buying oil from Iran, thereby funding their coffers, which enables them to fund not only Hezbollah Hamas, but also the Houthis in Yemen. But as a result of that, we have Islamic terrorists who are coming in through our southern borders using fake IDs and fake passports. And we have no idea, other than some of the ones that are being caught at the border, who are actually breaching our security in the United States. And thank you to Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris and the Obama alumni regime for allowing this to happen. There are diseases that now have restarted in the United States, which have been eradicated thanks to America's diligent effort in trying to eradicate, let's say, smallpox. It's making a return. Why? Because of the open border globalist policies of the Biden, Border Czar Harris, and Obama alumni regime. Why? In order to have more illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens in America. Why? In order to transport these illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to states which are losing populations, such as New York, Pennsylvania, and California. And then this allows the Congress people, and there was a congresswoman from New York who said, bring me all your illegal aliens, and I will, or as Al said, I forgot what the newcomers, and it helps with the census. It helps with the count in order to give me more people in my congressional district. You see, it's not about we the people. It's no longer about we the United States of America. It's no longer about protecting our sovereignty. It's no longer about individual liberties and freedoms. It's now about a dictatorship. And that dictatorship is being run by the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. The catalysts, of course, have been the Democrat Party, because even when they're in the minority, they are the majority. The Republican Party are part of that Uniparty system. There are a few outliers, but give me a break. Okay, give me a break. When you have an issue of unvetted illegal aliens pouring through your border, and you don't close that border on day one. As a matter of fact, you open that border. There was a reason why President Trump had a no-travel ban from 7 countries in the world. 7. And Nancy Pelosi, may she rot in hell, okay, absolutely lied to the American people about the 5 countries that were on that no-travel list, including all five Islamic nations, Syria, Yemen, Libya, the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, and Iraq. Why? Because not one of those Islamic aliens coming in from those countries could be vetted. You had no idea who was coming into your country. You had no idea if they were part of the Iranian Republican Guard who were here to create terrorist attacks, whether it was an Afghani who walks into a gay nightclub and kills 49 people. You have no idea who these people are. And then Venezuela and North Korea. Well, that should be self-explanatory, even if you're a left-wing lunatic. You can't vet one Venezuelan coming from Venezuela with the communist regime in Venezuela. You can't vet one North Korean citizen. You think Kim Jong-un is going to go ahead and have those North Korean nationals vetted properly? He's going to tell you exactly who they are? Are you smoking pot or just plain stupid? So there is a reason why there are seven countries on that list. But the narrative from Nancy Pelosi and members of the anti-American squad was that President Trump was banning all Muslims. That is a flat-out falsehood. But that goes to FBI agent Dan Smoot's word of the subversion of language. You see, there are at least 57 Islamic states in the world, at least 57 Islamic states, including Egypt, including Saudi Arabia, including Qatar, including the United Arab Emirates, including Jordan. Were those countries on that no travel list? No, they were not. They are Islamic dominated nations. 99.9% of the people there are, the inhabitants there are what? They're Islamic. Pakistan, they're Islamic, the majority. Lebanon, the majority is Pakistan. Were they on that no travel list? No, they were not. You see, and there was no pushback, not even from Republicans in the House at that time. For 4 years, the Republicans should have stood up, irrespective of their belief in President Trump, that we are not banning all Muslims. That is a flat-out lie. The Democrats should have called out Nancy Pelosi for lying, the squad for lying. Isn't it ironic that one of the squad members is from Somalia, and Somalia wasn't on that list, and Somalia is an Islamic-dominated country, and yet the incestuous Ilhan Omar was able to travel into the United States, although it was prior to 2017. This is the subversion of language by the left wing. So one of the things that I'm trying to say on this whole, to bring it back to where we started, was, you know, there is a reason why Biden, Joe Biden, and his regime didn't address the border issue. It's a reason why that they pranced Alejandro Mayorkas, an Obama alumni, before the media and before Congress in order to provide cover and to distract and say there is no crisis at the border. I can remember sitting at lunch with a friend of mine, and his friend, there was four of us, and one of the friends, it was a Border Patrol agent, and he still is at this time. And I asked him flat out, I said, you don't have to answer me your question, you don't have to answer my question, but this was back in 2021. And I asked him, I said, so tell me, is it true what's happening at the border? I mean, are we being invaded? And he looked at me and he looked at my buddy, and my buddy said, he's fine. He's cool. He says, okay. He says, he takes out his phone. It's on the table. He goes, let me show you something. I am 1 mile from the border. I'm sitting up on top of a hill, and he's in Arizona. And he says, take a look at this night vision. And I said, whoa, I see all these white dots, and it's a line like ants. I said, what are these, ants? He goes, no, these are illegal aliens who are pouring through our border, our southern border. He goes, let me tell you something. We had this border secured. And so Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security secretary, is a flat-out liar when he said that the border was secure. Because as soon as Joe Biden was installed as president and Mayorkas was confirmed as the Department of DHS secretary, our U.S. border became open. And yes, fly, you're absolutely right. Flycatch, the U.S. northern border is wide open as well. And we know that not only we know this from the Chinese spy balloon making it through our northern border with unscathed and passing through, what, 11 states, including over U.S. military bases. Flycatch puts in there, U.S. northern border wide open as Chinese soldiers trained with Canadian military. Son of a gun. Son of a gun. We know this. You know this. There are some of the media that know this. Republicans have to know this in Congress, and yet they remain silent. There are Democrats who know this, who are on the northern border. Their House districts are on the border states, and yet these left-wing Democrat Party House members are silent. And you think that these people work for We the People? They no longer work for We the People. They are working to destroy the United States of America. They are working to destroy our constitutional republic. There aren't a one in the United States Congress who's worth a damn at this time. They are not speaking out for We the People. They are not protecting the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, they failed their oath of office. They have failed We the People. And we're to believe that the Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni regime have got the border under control. Over 15 to 20 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens have poured through our borders. They are now causing a financial strain on cities, on states, all across the United States. As a result of illegal aliens being moved, calculated moves to certain areas of the Northeast. So much so that in a elementary school up in the Northeast, an elementary school, a second grade class that has 30 students, 27 of the 30 students, 31, excuse me, 27 of the 31 students cannot comprehend English. And guess what? That school district now has to bring in translators. Do you know what the cost of a translator is to that school district, to that state? Do you think that the tax base that is being generated by the citizens of that community, of that township, of that city, is going to be enough to offset the cost of bringing in translators because of the illegal aliens that have been transported to this particular city? And guess what? The media, the U.S. media, buries this story. You see, this was an intentional act by Biden and Border Czar Harris. Continued the dismemberment of our constitutional republic that was started. Well, certainly it was fast-tracked by Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama's regime. And Donald Trump was the speed bump. Why is this regime, why is the Washington, D.C. syndicate so bent on stopping Donald Trump, stopping We the People? Why? Because it's an interruption of the gravy train. It's an interruption of their dictatorship by transforming America from a constitutional republic to a democracy. Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And they have control of the purse strings. They will have control of the purse strings in each and every state. And, of course, they will have the purse strings in Washington, D.C. And at some point, the United States will not be able to pay its debt. Because they have created a debt that is going to be unsustainable. And they've done it intentionally. And suddenly in 2024, during a presidential election, the malleable moron, Joe Biden awakens to talk about we have a border crisis and now we have a remedy. Excuse me. This is a Band-Aid on something that you created that's far worse. And now you're manipulating the American people into thinking that this is going to be the remedy. But for 1,100 days, you've absolutely ignored the southern border. You've ignored the northern border. And we have so many undesirables in the coming into the United States that you had the Venezuelan president, the dictator in Venezuela, emptying his jail cells, much like what Castro did in 1980. You have the Chinese Communist Party is sending their Chinese communist men of fighting age into the United States to breach our borders. You have the communist Chinese government buying motels and buildings along the passageway from the Darien Gap in Panama north to Mexico so that their Chinese communist nationals can stop along the way to get a hot meal, to get a change of clothes, to get proper sleep in motels and showers. The Chinese communist government is buying motels along the way in order to help facilitate the illegal entry into the United States of America. And Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris have ignored this for 1,100 days, and suddenly they've now awakened during a presidential election year. Why? Because this is a winner for President Trump. Because President Trump had the border closed. President Trump had people in place who knew how to close the border. But that's not the agenda, because President Trump doesn't buy into the United Nations 2030 agenda of open borders, of an open society. He still believes in we the people, individual freedoms and liberties. He believes in the U.S. Constitution. I've not spoken to him personally, but by his actions, he has proven that he does put America first. And the people that are in Washington, D.C. that we've ceded control to by virtue of electing these individuals to Washington, D.C., no longer have our interest at heart because it's been highly profitable for them. How does AOC go from a net worth of less than $10,000 in 2017 to be worth $27 million based on a $174,000 a year salary? You do the math. It doesn't add up. How did Harry Reid, senator from Nevada, go from a $3 million net worth to a $93 million net worth based on a $157,000 a year salary? This new math must be incredible. And then, of course, Joe Biden. We have no idea what that malleable moron is worth, but you know what? To call the guy a moron, he's been pretty smart because he's been able to enrich himself. Enrich himself at the expense of the American people. He's enriched himself as a result of compromising national security. And somehow, that's okay. It's okay that Joe Biden had classified documents and possibly top secret documents in seven different locations, including the Penn Biden Center, which, guess what? The Communist Chinese Party invested heavily in the Penn Biden Center to the tune of $70 million. The Communist Chinese have set up police stations in Chinatowns across the United States. And guess where Joe Biden has an office in Washington, D.C., Chinatown? Oh, and guess what? There were classified documents there, which meant that Joe Biden stole them as a U.S. senator. He stole them as a vice president because he doesn't have coverage under the Presidential Records Act, which five presidents do, including President Trump. But little Joe Biden, the little dictator that he is, and the anti-American regime that's around him, it's okay for them to go after their political opponents. And the U.S. media is fine with that because the Democrat Party for five years, they spent 5 years demonizing Donald Trump. And in the process of them demonizing, irrespective of them demonizing him, he moved forward to put America first, and he did. And the Democrat Party and the Uniparty trashed him. But President Trump basically looked at them and turned his cheek and kept moving forward in making sure that America was placed first. Okay? You're a member of NATO? It requires you to pay 2% of your GDP. That's in the NATO charter. It's not a Trump charter. It's a NATO charter. First of all, why is the United States paying 4 to 5% of its GDP as dues to NATO? No, the United States should pay 2%. Well, that's because France was paying three quarters of a percent, not 1%, not 2%, but three quarters of a percent. Italy paying 0.5%. Germany paying 1.2%. Excuse me. If you're a member of NATO, the charter calls for you to pay 2% of your GDP. If you don't pay 2% of your GDP, then you should no longer be a member of NATO. Why is it incumbent upon the United States to pay 4%, the lion's share? Guess what? President Trump brings it out. He's being mean. Oh, fast forward to 2022. Russia invades Ukraine. The new German chancellor says, I think we need to pay the 2% of GDP instead of 1%. Well, son of a gun. What a fucking idea. And President Trump was excoriated for telling Germany that they need to pay 2% of the GDP as written in the NATO charter. So once again, President Trump was right. He was right about the travel ban. He was right about NATO. He was right about the deficit. He was right about the trade deficit and trying to erase the trade deficit with China, Communist China, $535 billion a year trade deficit that you and me, we the people, have been financing. $180 million trade deficit. $120 million trade deficit with Mexico. $140 billion trade deficit with the EU. Erasing all that, and what happens? Communist China releases the Wuhan virus, and now, since March of 2020, have we heard one word about erasing the Communist Chinese trade deficit of $535 billion. No, we've not heard one word about this. There was a reason why Donald Trump is being stopped. Because the abuse of power that's going on in Washington, D.C., by the Washington, D.C. syndicate, by the Washington, D.C. Uniparty, has been to fundamentally transform America. And we know those words to ring true because it's exactly what Barack Hussein Satoru Obama stated was the goal. He said it in 2009. We will fundamentally transform America. And the brain youths of America at that time applauded the great black dope. They applauded this Marxist mentality. And today, that Marxist mentality has metastasized. And you've got the left wing in Congress, in the U.S. House, in the U.S. Senate, who continue to run cover for Joe Biden's illicit activities. They've excused his abuse of power. They've excused the theft of classified documents as a U.S. senator and a sitting vice president. They've excused those actions. And yet they've weaponized justice and the Internal Revenue Service to destroy their political enemies who dare to stand up for one nation under God, the United States of America, our constitutional republic. Now in 2024, suddenly the malleable moron Joe Biden is talking about the border, a crisis that he and Border Czar Harris and the Obama alumni regime created. They created to comply with the United Nations 2030 agenda. And the United Nations, folks, the United Nations as guilty as hell. They are complicit along with the Biden, Border Czar Harris, and Obama alumni regime in the invasion of America. What they've done, to facilitate the tens of millions of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to pour through our borders. And now, as Al said, you've got Biden wanting to impose, wanting to give amnesty to the illegal, unvetted aliens. And for 1,100 days, the malleable moron Joe Biden was silent. He was AWOL from the border. He was absent without leave. He was on vacation. He was eating his ice cream cone, and he refused. He refused to address the border crisis that was occurring. And he had his little chimpanzee, Alejandro Mayorkas, lie directly to the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate select committees. It's a disgrace, Al.
Oh, it's more than that. And the greatest example happened on March 21st. This is the moment when 200-plus illegal aliens overran the Texas National Guard, and they were overrun by these illegal aliens rioting to get across the border in El Paso, where it all happened. Absolute chaos here. These are illegal aliens bum-rushing, attacking our Border Patrol to get into the United States. These are all military-age men, or most all military-age men, 200-plus. Well, the story ended today. Judge Humberto Acosta ruled that these same illegal aliens, violent, attacking the National Guard, stormed the border and riot against National Guard, have been released from jail on their own recognizance. Let me repeat, these 200-plus illegal aliens who rushed the border, overrunning our National Guard, putting them at risk, were let go and free on their own recognizance by Judge Humberto Acosta.
So maybe Judge Humberto...
The number of corrupt judges, DAs, within the system at the Department of Justice all the way down, Department of Homeland Security, must be astronomical. It's like an iceberg. I think all we see is the tip. We have no idea how deep the corruption goes beneath. You were saying? Sorry to interrupt.
No. I was going to say, to piggyback on what you said with Humberto, maybe Humberto needs to evaluate those individuals who are locked up for J6 still 3.5 years later, who did far less other than just trespass into the house, who are still in jail. They're not charged with insurrection, and yet there was an insurrection at the border by illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens who actually attacked border agents and did more damage, and now they're let out on their own recognizance where? To cities and parts of the United States unknown? Like they're going to come back for their court date, you know, on May 1st?
Yeah. Now, the J6, that's done for another reason. They're still in jail because they are sending a political message. The Democrat Party are sending a message that to conservatives that if you protest in any great numbers, we will arrest you and throw you in jail. Habeas corpus be damned. The right, your constitutional right or a person's constitutional right to a speedy trial completely ignored. And it sent a signal throughout conservative circles across the country, and you'll see that the number of protests from conservatives have been non-existent since January 6th, for the most part. There have been a few, of course, but nothing reaching the numbers of January 6th because nobody, at least in the conservative movement, wants to risk going to jail to protest.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct.
It's been a very effective tactic in silencing the right and the conservatives. Now, you put all these data points together, just the five or six that we've talked about in this show today, just based on current events, and this is not the America of freedom and liberty and the rule of law. This is the rule of corruption. And it begins with them going after Trump, trying to do anything and everything to get him off the ballot. Even a corrupt DA, Fannie Willis, who was stealing taxpayer money and paying her boyfriend $700,000 to go after Trump. You got another DA that has made it her campaign promise to go after a U.S. citizen, being one Donald Trump, and she has followed through with that before she even got into office.
And
this is not my country.
But let's also connect the dots for everybody here. You know, when you connect the dots to those two DAs, the dots also connect to George Soros. And in 2017,
right.
after Donald Trump had a successful meeting at the World Economic Forum, okay, in Davos, Switzerland, the very next week, George Soros attended, and he told Klaus Schwab, his buddy Klaus Schwab and the globalists, that we must do everything in our power to stop Donald Trump. That's what they said. Stop
yeah.
President Trump, excuse me. That's what his term was, to stop President Trump. And you have been so right in pointing out that what is George Soros' tactic that we kind of lose sight of. Tell us what George Soros' tactic is.
Well, Valentina Gomez says it perfectly. She says the judicial system is broken. These judges should be in jail because they failed to uphold the oath that they took. This is a violation of the Constitution and the interests of the American people. And George Soros and his son, Awkward Alex, who has now taken over the Soros empire, they bought these judges in order to break our judicial system. Law enforcement goes out, they enforce the laws, they arrest the people who break the laws, then they go into the system to get adjudicated, go to court, have a trial, and be presumed innocent. They have a trial with a jury of their peers, and then judgment is handed down. But in this case, when you have a DA who doesn't bring these cases, these violent cases, to court, the criminals are let free, they're not charged, chaos ensues, and the only people that these corrupt DAs go after are their political enemies. George Soros, his money that he spent on these district attorney races that nobody used to ever watch, because nobody ever had, the majority of people never have a run-in with the district attorney in their whole lives. George Soros, in his own brilliant, evil ways, realize that if he can buy these district attorneys, he can chisel away at the foundation of our legal system, create chaos in the streets, and make America ripe for a revolution by creating chaos. And we're seeing it every single day. We're seeing it as they're going after President Trump as the prime example. And now these 200 illegal aliens rushing our border, putting our guards, our border patrol at risk, physical harm, and not only breaking our laws, and then you have this Judge Acosta release these illegal alien criminals on their own recognizance because they broke through the barrier that physically got their feet on American soil instead of the no man land in between the border and that fence. I tell you, it is broken.
You know,
our judicial system is broken. Our border system is broken.
And it's all by design. It is intentionally broken by Joe Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni regime. And if you want any further proof of the weaponization of the Justice Department, just look at how Barack Hussein Sotoro and the Biden regime weaponized the IRS to destroy the Tea Party. And they used Lois Lerner. Remember Lois Lerner, who headed up the Internal Revenue Service? They used her, okay, in her office to destroy and to stop the Tea Party. And I know there are some people in the chat room right now that I'm looking at that were part of that Tea Party. And you know, I attended several functions as well in my area. And it was the right idea. And it brought Democrats and Republicans together because we understood that the system was broken back in 2010. and it was Rick Santelli. Rick Santorum, excuse me.
Santelli.
No, you're right. You used to work with that guy, Rick Santelli. On the Chicago Board of Trade, who was the catalyst for it. And it was Barack Obama who used and weaponized the IRS in order to stop the Tea Party. And now the same regime that would be Biden and the Obama alumni regime are using the Department of Justice to stop their political opponents. And one of them is Donald Trump. And, you know, this is not America. Boyd put in there was seeing the tactics of 1937, and he's right. It looks like 1937 Germany, and it's exactly what dictators do to stop their political rivals. And you know what? What we really should be also just concerned with is that we have a media in this country who is willing to allow this to happen. You know, the Woodward and Bernsteins who were so bent on crucifying Richard Nixon for his role in possibly in the Watergate break-in, you know, where are they when it comes to the executive branch of government violating the Bill of Rights against citizens, violating the First Amendment right of freedom of speech, the freedom to peaceably assemble, the Sixth Amendment due process, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And yet this media is absolutely silent. Until, of course, they are the ones being attacked.
Yeah, we're at a place where judges, prosecutors, DAs, politicians, and media, they need to stand trial for treason. And I think that's where we're at. But I don't think it's going to happen when you have the president's son lie on gun purchases, saying that he's not a felon and he is a felon, or has drug problems and he said he doesn't. That's a felony, and he gets himself undone, and then his wife throws the gun, a loaded gun, into a dumpster near a school, which is another felony, and they get undone. We're not in a good place, our country, and the J6 people. I mean, you take the comparison of this, because a lot of people are talking about the January 6th protesters, just like you were, and they've been in prison for pushing through the barricades at the Capitol, and yet you have these illegal aliens pushing through the barricades in El Paso, and they get released on their own cognizance, and they're not even U.S. citizens. Very troubling indeed. Yeah, it's a great analogy you made. It was beautiful.
Or Al, one other analogy. What you said about pushing through barriers at the Capitol, or J6, let's say protesters, we'll just call them protesters, getting arrested after Capitol Police removed barriers and waved them into the Capitol.
Right. That's the irony.
These illegal aliens weren't waved into the United States. They actually broke law. They actually violated the U.S. Constitution, and a judge... Okay, under Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, violated Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. He should have been bound by law to uphold against the illegal aliens who invaded the United States, and he failed to do so.
and then the Capitol Police, they escorted that vegan shaman doofus with the horns on his head.
Yes.
They escorted him through the Capitol, and then finally, after a year, when the tapes finally came out, why they took so long is because we were betrayed by our Republican Party. But once the tapes did get out, they immediately let him go because there was just so many minutes of him being escorted through by the Capitol Police. You can't throw him in jail for that.
You can't. You can't go through to the door's locked. Let's open up this one.
Right. And there were some people who did incredibly violent things and did attack the Capitol. They need to do jail time. But it ends up that a lot of these, some of these people who were instigating this were FBI agents. And we saw that on some of the footage, too, which leads the conspiracy people into a place that is legitimate when it happens once. How rampant was it?
Oh. Right. Wait, your head's not going to explode, is it?
Well, when these newcomers, and then they try to call them newcomers, President Biden, that is brilliant. And it will get repeated and parroted throughout the media because newcomers just sounds nice and pleasant, and we are a generous and friendly people who welcome the newcomers into our country because we are a nation of immigrants. Brilliant, brilliant. Don't fall for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, big moving and boy, they're on a roll. Big said that dude should have been arrested by the fashion police before he even arrived at the Capitol. He's the guy with the horns.
The horny vegan shaman.
Well, listen, Wednesday evening, right here on Global Patriot Radio, it's the Hank Jones and Polly Sports Show. I know Hank will be talking about the Lady Hawkeyes who are playing right now against LSU Tigers, Lady Tigers. He'll also be talking Final Four with his posse. And some politics, I'm sure, that will be coming through the airwaves there between now and Wednesday. Saturday is the Minister of Samad Daktak, the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. Now, and I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on 1 to 4 p.m. She's on Blog Talk Radio right now, simulcast. And I'm sorry, guys, I can't remember the station that she's on. I will get with Annie, and I'll try to assure that I apologize to Annie and her sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. If you want a break from politics and want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. That's a Simone Nicole Show, great self-help show. And you get to go big musical education, man. This guy knows music. I'm so impressed. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She's a great American, and so is her sidekick, Mr. P. Joe Gibson, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Restoring Our Republic. And at 8 p.m., I think at 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. on Wednesday, 7:30 on Wednesday evenings, is the Tim Tapp Show. I want to recognize those who are in the chat room and on the switchboard. We got Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, a great blog spot. You should read it every day. Big puts a great job into it, plus he'll give you a history lesson of America while in his travels. Flycatch, nice to see you, Fly. It's great to see you, Fly. Some old faces back in. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, nice to see you, Ron. James, Snowman James, good to see you. Chief QM, CUSN, nice to see you, Chief. Always a pleasure, man. I hope you're doing well. Tim Tapp was in the chat room. Also, Conservative Nation Media, Robert, he was in the chat room. Nice to see you, Robert. Moving from Alaska, Moving was on, Moving Forward, and Boyd from Alaska, and Sue from New Mexico was on the switchboard. Thank you all for joining us today. Al, any parting shots?
The Ramadan Bombathon death toll, 703 killed, 150 attacks, 465 injured in 22 countries. So remember this, Ramadan is just another month without lunch.
And the killing continues. oh my gosh. Well, folks, we'll be back next Monday evening. You be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. A happy belated Easter, and thank you all for joining us. God bless you guys. Ciao for now. Ahoy, right on time.
On the numbers. Good show. You know what story we didn't talk about? We just ran out of time. You know that pier that Biden wants to build over in Gaza to bring humanitarian aid to the Gazans and Hamas?
Yes. Yep.
Well, the Joint Chiefs of Staff says the U.S. troops that are working to provide humanitarian aid to the residents will be protected from violence in the region. Joint Chief Chairman Brown's comments come amid concerns for the Senate Republicans that the mission could cost American military lives. So force protection is at the top of our list anytime we put our forces in harm's way. So who do you think the United States is employing or using to help force protection for the U.S. forces that are providing aid and comfort to the Gazan people and Hamas?
The Italians?
Probably. If you bring the... They're employing Israel to provide force protection to the United States troops to build this pier to give humanitarian aid to the Gazans and Hamas, and they have to use Israel to protect them from Hamas, who they're sending all this humanitarian aid to, because Hamas will fire on them and kill them. And then President Biden goes and betrays them in the UN before they do all this.
Wait a minute.
How fucked up is that?
Wait a minute, Al. What are we missing here? Wait, you're saying that the Biden regime wants Israel to provide protection for the pier that's going to be built in order to bring aid to Hamas and the Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, it's not Hamas protecting the U.S. soldiers who are building the pier to bring them food and humanitarian aid. They're bringing in Israel to provide protection from the people who they are giving aid to with our taxpayer dollars.
So basically you're saying that Hamas can't be trusted to be civilized and to not fire upon our soldiers or kill our soldiers who are trying to bring aid to them, to the same terrorists who will terrorize our soldiers.
That's what the policy indicates. You make up your own mind. That's the most messed up thing. That is one of the most messed up things I've heard. We covered a lot of messed up policy, is down is up kind of stuff. But this story takes the cake in my brain.
You know, I really thought of a nice, this could be a really comical Kamala Harris skit. You know, Vice President Word Salad, this is a perfect word salad.
Think
about it. She could sit there. She can go on. They could have her release the talking points. Well, we're going to have, get this now. Now, think about this. We're going to have the very terrorists who terrorize and kill Americans and kill Israelis. We don't trust them to protect us. So since they're killing Israelis, we're going to have Israelis protect Americans so that we can deliver goods and humanitarian aid to the terrorists who kill Americans and kill Israelis, who also sponsor terrorism and are part of a terrorist, the Muslim Brotherhood, because we believe that they can provide protection, but they can't protect themselves, and they won't, of course, protect the very people who are protecting them.
Right, and we're going to use the people that we're accusing of committing genocide on the Hamas and the Palestinians to provide force protection for U.S. troops, so U.S. troops can give humanitarian aid to the Hamas jihadis.
I'm going to say that's a five-star Mamma Mia. You can't make that up. I'm sorry.
No, and Trump should be using this as the foundation for his campaign going forward.
Oh my God.
Which I'm sure he will when the time is right, but God, just makes my head explode.
Why don't they have, I mean, wasn't the Biden regime just have the Iranian National Guard come in and guard that port? I mean, why don't we just give the Revolutionary Guard, we give them the whole itinerary of all of our U.S. naval ships who are going to be part of this, and they can have all the information, and you know, let's cut right to the chase.
Yeah, bring Turkey in, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, sure. They're about to be destabilized as well, based upon the elections that just took place in Turkey.
Put that in your hookah and smoke it.
You're going to have to you know what? You're going to have to update us next week on this, okay? If there's any change or if there's any movement in this whole peer issue, you're going to have to bring this up because that's something that you need to talk about next week.
Oh, this story it's almost 2 weeks old. It's not a new story.
But there's bound to be some movement in this, especially with all the chaos that this Biden Obama alumni regime likes to create. There's definitely chaos in this.
Yeah. Our troops get attacked, they're going to blame Israel for not protecting them.
Right. Correct.
That's how it's going to go down. Amazing. Anyway.
Oh my. All right.
On this transgender day of visibility, we will move on to the work week.
You know, it's not even funny anymore. What this regime has done, and for them to legitimize this in 2021, there's a calculated effort to do this. We got to figure out why, and the reason, of course, is the identity politics, and it's to destroy the nuclear family. And you know, they want to continue to drive the wedge, and also, I'll tell you, the gay community is not happy about this as well. And I bet you it's more than 0.5% of the gay community who's not happy about this, because they look towards the transgender movement as also a radical movement. So the mission statement of the Biden Obama alumni regime has really been, you know, several fold, because they're able to marginalize anybody who is opposed to them and bring it to the mainstream of the Democrat Party and make it appear to be mainstream, because the news media in this country is also bought and paid for by the DNC. So they've also legitimized this perversion.
Yeah, and we've got friends who are gay. We've got gay family members, both our families, and I tell you, they see a lot of these cross-dressers that are political activists. They're an embarrassment, and that they have a whole different agenda, and they're in a whole new world of kink than just being gay. This is a whole different world that I don't understand, but even they don't like these people. But you never hear about that, unfortunately.
No, you don't. And it's you know, they purposely omit that. You know? They purposely omit that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that judge that's going after Biden, or overseeing the case, and his daughter was paid by the Biden-Harris campaign to go after Trump, and the judge didn't recuse himself. He put a gag order on Trump to keep him from talking about his daughter. That's another story we didn't get a chance to get into.
Yeah, was it something like $93 million? Something like that she raised for the Biden campaign?
Something, I'm not sure. Yeah, that sounds about right. Because this is with the Stormy Dan. Yeah, this is with the Stormy Daniels trial, which I thought was over, and I thought Trump won that, and that Stormy Daniels had to pay him $400,000. How is this thing still going on?
It's called the weaponization of the Department of Justice and going after your political opponents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Amazing. And the media is okay with this. So at some point in time, the U.S. media, if if this regime is allowed to continue, and if you have, I don't know, journalists like Catherine Heritage, who then decide they have a conscience and they, or they want to be journalists and they absolutely go against the grain and they uncover some things, and if they should bring these, what they uncover to the forefront, and it happens to be damaging to the sitting president, Joe Biden, suddenly they're ostracized from that TV station or from that news organization. And their life is in turmoil and turned upside down. So maybe at some point in time, the freedom of the press, when it's starting to become, when it's become abridged by the federal government, such as the executive branch of government, that they will get upset and maybe there will be consequences for it. And they'll stop buying into the notion that Trump is bad and Trump is a dictator, which he's not.
Yeah. Whatever happened with Heritage, Catherine Heritage?
How'd
that story ever end? Or is it
Twitter picked her up? X.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Yep.
So Elon picked her up as a foreign whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess to go on a platform just like Tucker was able to go on the platform.
Oh, okay. I got it. So he's kind of building a news. With Twitter, he's bringing on these journalists, conservative. He's building a network on Twitter.
Very well could be. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
And
now
the guy did a doubleheader. Yeah, he did a doubleheader rocket launch this week or over the weekend.
Really?
It was either Saturday or Sunday. Did a rocket went in the morning, and then another rocket went in the evening.
Oh my God, jeez, that guy is amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. Yeah, without a doubt. and NASA's still trying to get stuff off the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a mutual friend who works with NASA, and he says they're never going to compete.
Wow. Golly. Well, you know, we'll have to keep up with Elon and see what happens with – I'm going to make a note here about Catherine Heritage, and I put on here the peer and Catherine Heritage. So that'll be two stories for next week.
Yeah. Well, 20 other things will probably happen. More interesting, but we'll see. Anyway, great show.
Yeah.
Sue, have a great week and stay healthy, and we'll see you next week. God willing, and the creek don't rise.
Yes. So, Al, you have a good week. Hopefully I get to talk to you this week, and I'll talk to you later. Have a nice one.
All right.
Bye, Sue.
You
take care of yourself.
Adios, amigo.
Well, folks.